If you see it on an anatomical chart, you can see that the teeth are actually an extension of your brain. And teeth are not just hard, white biting instruments. They are little teeny tiny organs. They have a blood supply, they have a lymph supply, and an autonomic nervous system.
Welcome to the CMLand podcast. Today, our guest is Dr. Dominic Niswich. Dr. Dome is one of the world's leading biological dentists. This episode is brought to you by Alitura Naturals. Alitura brings you the best natural skincare products for radiating skin and anti-aging. Regular skincare products are full of ingredients and fillers that actually cause more harm than good. Alitura uses only active ingredients sourced and handcrafted in Hawaii. Their products contain zero fillers. The Alitura Night Cream received the 2021 Clean Cert Beauty Awards for Best Face Cream. Alitura also has skin moisturizers, clay mask, serums, and cleansers. Head over to alitura.com and use the code SIIM, S-I-I-M, for a 20% discount. Dr. Dome, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sim.
Yeah, I actually checked before this that the last time that we talked on the podcast was 3 years ago.
So it is already 3 years ago.
Yeah, which is crazy. And like a lot of things have happened ever since, obviously. But, we've met face to face as well on different events. So I'm glad to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, and we can just give people like a brief, let's say, introduction to you again. What is your, let's say, main area of expertise in dentistry? And specifically, like, you can also explain, like, what is biological dentistry itself?
Yes. Okay. So I'm a specialist for biological dentistry, as well as ceramic implants. And biological dentistry, the way I, let's say, describe it is more it's an overlap of the traditional high-tech dentistry with functional medicine and health optimization / biohacking. And our goal is obviously the optimal health for our patients, which I believe starts in the mouth because that's the entrance to your system. Whereas a traditional conventional dentist sees teeth more as like biting instruments that you can, that actually you work for drilling, filling, and billing is what they usually say. And yeah, you either fix bites or smiles. So it's the next level of everything. And obviously we only use stuff that is really biocompatible in your mouth.
Mm. Yeah, like I think many people don't really realize or haven't known before that the teeth are an organ, which, you know, I never, you know, thought about it as well until I started seeing your content, you know, many years ago. And you were like one of the first that I've seen, at least, to like, yeah, just describe how connected the teeth are to the rest of your body and how, you know, the state of your teeth affects your nervous system. And, you know, in so doing, also your, like, you know, biomarkers and blood work and all those kind of things.
Yes, exactly. So if you see it on an anatomical chart, you can see that the teeth are actually an extension of your brain, like your eyes. Everyone knows that the eyes are kind of like starting in your brain, but the same goes for the teeth. There is one nerve, one of the 12 cranial nerves is called trigeminus, which is quite pronounced. It has, from all the 12 cranial nerves, this one seems to uses the most space in the brainstem. And this nerve has three branches. One goes to the lower jaw, one goes to the upper jaw, and one ends right here above your eye. And it looks like this on an anatomical chart. And at the end of this nerve branch is always a tooth. And so you could imagine, if this is your computer, you could imagine a teeth being like an external hard drive. And teeth are not just hard, white biting instruments. They are little teeny tiny organs. They have a blood supply, they have a lymph supply, and an autonomic nervous system. So obviously, whatever you do with your teeth, on your teeth, as a dentist or as a patient, affects the whole anatomy. It affects your nervous system, as well as your immune system, your hormones. Whatever you just said is a big part of your body. It's actually, you're working on, like, this is the central nervous system bit. It's not the arm. The arm is just an extremity. This is brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's truly remarkable how it's connected. Like, why would, let's say, your body evolve in a way to make the teeth organs, because they're like pretty fragile, like they can come off pretty easily. So why would they, such a sensitive, technically like a sensitive organ and part of your brain, be, you know, in your mouth? Like, what are your thoughts about that?
I like the question. I think, look, the teeth are fascinating organs. They are hard as a stone, like granite. They're as, in nature, if you're healthy, your teeth are a stone. You cannot break them. They're really hard. And at the same time, they're so sensitive, you can feel a hair in between them, which is insane, like a stone that feels a hair. Yeah, so there must be something connected. But as you know, like, let's say, epidemiology wise, we kind of developed around the mouth, because one of our key drivers is still finding food, even though it's not really important anymore in this type of world, because it's abundant. But the way we developed, the teeth or the mouth seem to have a really hard impact on your overall body. And yeah, I would say it's not just the teeth, it's the whole oral cavity, the whole mouth is an ecosystem in itself. You know, little babies, they stuff everything into their mouth, and this is how they develop your immune system. The immune system has a huge part in your mouth, and there's everything is covered in, from immune system. You have a huge microbiome in your mouth. You have, I would say, they found up to some 700 different species in your mouth. So the microbiome, the oral microbiome, is the most diversified in the whole body, even more than your whole gut system. It's not the largest. The largest is the gut. But I believe that this is part of your gut. It's this tube that starts here and ends at the back door. So it makes total sense to make these organs kind of sensitive to the outside environment. Could be like an initial contact point. Taste, obviously, in your mouth is important, because when we were just living as, let's say, hunters and gatherers, we would probably eat more intuitively. Obviously, we were hunting and knew that animal was good for us. That's why we went at length to get that. But also, intuitive eating means you have a few senses that you use, like smelling, but also at the end, after smelling and first is seeing, there's a nice mushroom over there. It looks great. Let's eat it. Then usually what you do, the next thing is smell it. If it smells good, you would still like to taste it. And the third obstacle until it gets into your body is biting on it, chewing and tasting it. And if it's then bad, then you spit it out. Obviously, with these, in this world nowadays, with all the chemicals and artificial things, we can make everything taste great. But in nature, when it's about intuition, it could save lives. Like, imagine you would eat that mushroom and it's really bad for your health. So the taste is really important, and therefore you need your teeth in the whole, it's a whole ecosystem, the whole microbiome. You know, we know from studies that the microbiome in your mouth, as well as in the whole gut system, changes within 12 to 25 hours regarding, let's say, important is the substrate you give it. That means a baby that is breastfed has a total different microbiome than a bottle-fed one or formula-fed one. Or you, when you're eating more carnivorous, it's a total different microbiome than if you would be a raw vegan. 12 hours is only depending on substrate and obviously what you already have in your mouth. And dental repair plays a huge role in there, because dental repair couldn't be more unnatural. Why are your teeth becoming so soft these days? That should be the question, because like you said, it's very fragile to put a tiny organ in front, but if the tiny organ is hard as a stone and very much protected, it doesn't really matter. But if it gets soft because we are living in a different environment now, then it's getting a little bit confusing, I understand.
Gotcha. Yeah, you explained it very well that, yeah, like the such a vital process for survival, eating requires you to be very, you know, careful, obviously, with what you put into your mouth. And also, like, immediately detect whatever, if you eat something that is poisonous or
exactly
whatever you think, like, because if you, and even if you, let's say, create like some sort of inflammatory response, then or if you eat something that, you know, causes more, let's say, down the line would kill you, then the individuals who didn't detect this delicate and sensitive software in the mouth, those would die. Whereas the ones who did develop this very delicate and sensitive software in the mouth, those would just, you know, through natural selection would survive. So it makes perfect sense after you explained it that way. And yeah, like in the modern world, you know, I guess, yeah, like in the modern world, the teeth have become somewhat more softer compared to ancestral people or Aboriginal people who, you know, are, let's say, required to also have a tougher bite and a stronger teeth in the natural environment. And, you know, you can even see it based on like the amount of jaw strength required to eat. Like, you know, very fibrous foods in nature require a lot more chewing, and also like chewing for breaking up the bones and eating the meats and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, if you eat purees and a lot of these soft foods in the modern world, then yeah, like even just through like over the course of, you know, generations, your teeth would become softer. The same way, like if you don't need the muscles, then you would also lose the muscles eventually by being sedentary.
Yes, the teeth, not just the teeth are getting softer. Also, like you just alluded, the whole jaw structure gets weaker, thinner. We're actually living in a world of degeneration. Imagine I'm a dental surgeon, so that means I have to do a lot of surgeries. And the teeth that are extracted most often in the Western world are your wisdom teeth, because we simply do not have space anymore for them. So therefore, the doctor recommends, before you get your braces, which is not normal but super unnatural, before you get your braces, to straighten up your teeth so that they fit into your body. Super unnatural, right? Before, you should also take out a couple of teeth, especially your wisdom teeth, because you don't need them. So now, 10,000 years ago, when we were all eating harder foods, like you just said, just eat meat from a bone, or let's say a carrot or something raw, you need more strength. And we had wider jaws, and we all had space for 32 teeth. We actually even had 36. So we had as extra set, because sometimes, maybe 10,000 years ago, because you bit on something hard, or maybe you lost a tooth, you got more of them. You understand? Nowadays, we are so degenerated over generations that we do not even have enough teeth, and our teeth are becoming more soft and soft and soft. So number one chronic disease is still tooth decay. So decay of a stone. There's something inherently wrong in our bodies. And Weston Price, I'm sure you're familiar with him, he described it very precisely in his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, 100 years ago, when he, for example, traveled to the Aborigines. And his hypothesis was that processed foods, or the advent of highly processed foods, meaning flour, sugar, refined oils, and all the things that were coming to the surface or were pushed harder, would lead to a deformation of our bodies because of a lack of nutrients, because of less food. And now, let's say 100 years later, 2023, we can even order our food in. We don't even have to chew it anymore. We can drink a smoothie out of everything every single day, and chewing gets less and less and less. A lot of women are not able to breastfeed anymore, or even are taught it's bad for the baby, which is total bullshit. So we have to basically reverse engineer so that our body becomes more natural again. Because in nature, we are immune against tooth decay. There is no such thing as having no space for your teeth. This is just epigenetics, like on a big scale. And as you know, our environment couldn't have changed more within the last 100 years. And therefore, obviously, we change too. But we can reverse it. That's the good part of it.
Right. Gotcha. So what are the, you obviously mentioned a few of them, like sugar and flours are like the biggest culprits of tooth decay and other tooth problems. So yeah, like how, if you could, you know, categorize like, okay, what, these are the foods that are generally not beneficial for the teeth.
Yeah.
The other one is like, what are the good ones then?
So basically, generally what the dentist would say is sugar, avoid sugar. Correct. Sugar is not just because, like, you might have learned that sugar will activate feed a couple of bacteria that will then knock down your teeth and build a hole in there. It's a bit more complicated. It has to do with insulin, has to do with your whole saliva. It has to do with, let's say, with P pH imbalances, electrolyte imbalances, but you can say the more acidic the food, the more it will obviously attack your enamel, the more acidic will the acidity your saliva has, the more brittle will your tooth be. So sugar, obviously, it's an anti-nutrient. It's not good for anything. It's also not good for your teeth. Then anything refined, let's say refined flour, gluten-containing flour especially, gluten, if you look at studies from gluten and tooth decay, celiac disease, usually as people with celiac disease usually have that, have very mushy teeth. So they are prone to tooth decay and these hypomineralizations. We can go into this deeper. It has to do with leaky gut and inflammation and chelation of minerals. So gluten-containing grains, especially the refined ones. I would also say refined vegetables. Anything that causes inflammation in the long run also causes inflammation in your oral cavity, obviously. Conventional dairy is usually not as beneficial as you think. But also acidity, like just lots of sugary drinks or even like fruit juices. For example, orange juice is super acidic, even though it has some health benefits, depends on how you work around it. Because as soon as the acidity of a drink goes below, I think it's below 6, then it's already getting a little bit aggressive for the enamel. Even your coffee is very acidic. So we are drinking more acidic stuff. We're eating less nutrient-dense foods. Some foods even will lead to mineral imbalances. So first of all, I call them the core four: gluten-containing grains, sugar, refined vegetable oils, and even conventional dairy. Not raw A2 dairy that we discuss in health optimization. But the most people, to be honest, out here, maybe not your followers or mine, but most people don't even know what the difference is between conventional dairy and raw dairy. So that's the number one. And then what are foods that are beneficial for your teeth? Is actually foods that are beneficial for your overall health. Teeth are just the first glands. If I see a black tooth or anything in your mouth, any sort of inflammation, this translates, this little ecosystem here translates to the big ecosystem here because it's the entrance hall. Like when you go in a hotel, if the entrance hall is already shitty, you know the hotel is shitty. You understand? Entrance hall shitty, the rest of the body. So basically, bad oral health equals bad overall health. It's as simple as that. So therefore, any whole foods that you can find in nature, animal foods, plant foods, it doesn't really matter. This is a little bit more individual. I'm a bigger fan of both balance. Like we need animal foods. Animals build, plants cleanse is usually what you learn when you, let's say, distracted from all the nutritional principles out there. But number one is always, don't eat the food that make you unhealthy or inflamed on a daily basis.
Yeah, like there is, I guess, a correlation between people who eat more of those foods and also like worsening metabolic health. So like people who eat more sugar and flour and those kind of things, then on average, at least they are less metabolically healthy and more insulin resistant. Whereas people who eat more whole foods as well, then their teeth are going to be healthier, but their overall health tends to also be better. I'm curious, like what is, you mentioned that, you know, the ones that they... The hallway is, you know, messy and dirty, so the entire hotel is also going to be more likely to be like that. So, like, can you describe how does, you know, how does it go both ways like that? How does like insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome or obesity, or which way, does it go? Like, does the poor health promote this insulin resistance, or is that the insulin resistance in your overall body contributes to poor oral health? Obviously it's a bit both, but yeah, like, can we like explain?
It's actually both ways.
Yeah.
So for example, the typical dental diseases are tooth decay that we just alluded on, but also bleeding gums called gingivitis, as well as if it goes above the gums into your bone and loosens up the teeth, it's called periodontitis. Therefore you have an ongoing inflammation in your gum, above your gum into your bone structure, making the teeth more loose. You lose bone actually around your teeth. They get loose. Like the sailors back in the day when they hadn't had food, collagenases stopped because no vitamin C. They got scurvy and the teeth all got loose. That's an extreme form of periodontitis. As soon as you have inflamed tissue in your mouth, let's say a bleeding gum, what happens is the tissue in your mouth, the gum, should usually be light pinkish, and never bleeding. It never bleeds in nature. It's just healthy and it's tight. like this skin here. It's the same skin. It's an outside barrier. The mouth is actually not inside body, it's outside body. It's a protection. So as soon as it's inflamed, it opens up. You know about leaky gut. Yeah, it's the same principle. It's just then leaky gum, meaning bacteria and, let's say, toxins or not really digested food particles can jump into there and cause systemic inflammation, but it's already started in the mouth. And there's very good data. There's actually a new study from 2023 showing that oral pathogens, I think in this case it was Porphyromonas gingivalis, a typical oral pathogen, was found in causing brain inflammation due to activation of microglia cells. And it's only found in the brain because it jumps in your mouth already. Same went for the C word. Like, you know, all the viruses that are now is November or late October, so more virus season. We know that they live in the oral cavity. And why are some people more affected and why people less? So people with oral health issues and leaky gum or gingivitis, periodontitis, are more prone because the virus don't stay there. They jump in and your system gets overloaded. That's when the cytokine storms kick in. So it's a lot to do with periodontitis. It's even great studies showing that if you have a periodontitis, you're more prone to insulin resistant and diabetes. Vice versa, there's also studies showing if you have a diabetes, type 2 diabetes, you're more prone to periodontitis. So you don't really know what the chicken and the egg is, but you can already see as a skilled biological dentist, or let's say an overall health expert, you don't even need to be a dentist for that. With one look in your mouth, you can see tooth decay, bleeding gums, periodontitis. Mm-hmm. What you don't see, and what the dentist never focuses on, is the next step is, has there been any dental repair done? So have you had metals in your mouth? It's always a question that I ask on every single keynote presentation that I give, because I love how the audience reacts. So for example, at the Health Optimization Summit of our friend Tim in London, I asked the audience, please stand up if you have or had metals in your mouth and remain standing. And the second one is, have you had a root canal treatment? Stand up, remain standing. And the third one is always, did they take out your wisdom teeth? And usually 90% of all people, doctors included, especially also on a health optimization event, they stand up, which shows me they do everything what they should do, like health optimization, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, everything they can do, they should, but they're still not superhuman. So now it's time to look into your mouth, because this is the bit you can't biohack your way around. This is dental repair. It's 24/7 chronic fight and flight syndrome in your body, and no one talks about it, or no one even slightly thinks about the correlation, because there is studies showing that high levels of heavy metals will lead to insulin resistance or cause depression or actually lead to anxiety or hormonal dysbalances. So let's see this way. Whatever study you will find or any topic you are interested in, you will always find the same thing true to be in the oral cavity. But this is the part that no one looks to. That's the problem. No one looks into your mouth. A doctor doesn't know how to look there, and a dentist doesn't know that this affects the whole body. That's the issue here.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it is true that there's this idea of dental health being, you know, more towards like aesthetics. And even if you have poor dental health, then it's somehow not going to affect your overall health or longevity. Whereas, you know, like you already have talked to us already that, you know, there's a massive link between your dental health, oral health, and overall systemic health. So yeah, like I guess many people just haven't thought about it before, and they just associate dental health with the aesthetics and just, you know, how it looks kind of.
And the problem is, on top of that, that the conventional dentist, and there's nothing against all your dentists out there, actually the opposite. We're going next level. This is how we are taught in university. A tooth, we can repair it. We can do an extensive root canal. We can do a titanium implant. The only focus why we are doing it is to get the patient out of pain, maybe, but mostly is to remain or to consider biting function. And then, like you said, very important point is always that it looks good aesthetically, but you can look amazing. But if you do an X-ray, you look like Terminator. So this is where this is just a knowledge gap that I try to fill with all the functional medicine and nutrition and all the things that we are talking in health optimization or health, in that there is a big part, because my idea of the future is we don't even need a dentist, because Nature is not, nature has your body designed perfectly. You're immune against tooth decay. Your teeth are hard as stone. If you start early, you grow balanced, you have space for your teeth, and you can bite and you can breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. This is how nature has it. Unfortunately, epigenetically, we do all the opposite. So what we should do in the future as doctors, dentists, health coaches, it doesn't even matter, train our patients the way that they learn even before they get pregnant, how to support the body during pregnancy, how to breastfeed, because this is the initial orthodontic treatment that nature has provided us to get a strong jaw, breathing through your nose. This is all breastfeeding. I know not all of you women out there are able to breastfeed. I'm sorry about that. But if you can, it's the best thing you can do, especially if you had prepared your body with the right nutrition, right supplements, right lifestyle, sleep hygiene, all these things apply. And then we don't even need to drill. And actually, lesson number one in dental school is, if you can, do not use the drill. Because as soon as you drill that tooth, it's never going to be the same. You see, if you never need to go to the dentist for nothing, you don't have any cavitation. You won't have a root canal. You don't have any metals in your mouth. It's just not there. I have nothing. The only thing I had was orthodontics. With this bit, I'm already one of the degenerated ones. So my bite is not working and I had no space. But I hopefully for my kids, I can do it. I can already reverse it. Let's see. That's the future. But it will take time. So for now, I need 1,000 at least young and wild dentists to know exactly what we're doing, how to optimize patients' health and repair in a biocompatible way. Because for now, there's so much repair to be done. It's insane. Mm. And this is all connected to chronic health issues.
Yeah. So let's say someone has teeth problems and they might have like some cavities or tooth decay. So like, what would be your approach to solving that? So that, you know, starting everything with nutrition and then maybe ending up with, if you do need to use the drill or whatever other tool you have.
So first of all, if you or your kids suffer from tooth decay, then I would initially check my vitamin D3 blood work. It's probably on the low side. And second is I would rule out food sensitivities, especially gluten intolerance. I would just go off gluten and anything that chelates minerals or leads to ongoing chronic inflammation in your gut, because we know that this leads to less minerals available for bones and teeth. And building bones and teeth is actually the same biochemistry. That's number one. If they're already at the dentist's, us as biological dentists, we would make x-rays and then see, okay, the tooth decay is there, but it's maybe only in the enamel. So that's in the hard part of your tooth. If it's only there, then we only give nutritional advices. It has nothing to do with brushing. It's only how can we reestablish mineral homeostasis, mineral balance, imbalances. And again, vitamin D3 plays a crucial role here because vitamin D3 is kind of like the key driver in conjunct with magnesium, vitamin K2, etc., to bring the right blocks into the teeth and bones. So we would give advice when it comes in form of nutritional advice as well as micronutrition advice, maybe a few lifestyle things. But if most of my patients, to be honest, fly in from all over the world and they have a lot of dental repair, they have had a lot of dental repair already, so they usually send in their panoramic x-ray, a two-dimensional x-ray where I can see everything. And they usually have a lot of metals or had them. They usually have root canals. They usually have wisdom teeth removed. So we plan the whole case to basically reset the whole autonomic nervous system to make a huge detox and rebuild it. So when they are able, when they're prepared well, and they are then finally able to come in to see us, we will remove all the metals safely. We can talk about this if you want. We take out all the root canals and place immediate ceramic implants, which are new teeth, but ceramic means they are neutral and biocompatible, they're biomaterial. And we also take care of the chronic inflammation in your jawbone from the removed wisdom teeth in one health optimization week. So you don't need to go to the dentist 25 times for this. This has all been done in 1 week. And I think this is such a charming concept because patients really fly in from all over the world. It's rarely that we have someone from close by. It's more likely that we have a patient from America, Japan, and Singapore in 1 week than we have one from my hometown. That's for sure. And I hope that we can change this and teach more dentists to approach the clinic more in an overall holistic fashion. But this is how we go about it. And yeah, you I think every health coach or practitioner should be able to diagnose the panoramic X-ray before they even go at length with any sort of detoxification protocols or whatever. Because the root detoxification is there anything installed in your body 24/7 that blocks your whole nervous system? That needs to be taken out. And then everything works like way better.
Yeah, you know, many people have struggled with heavy metals and even like, you know, they're doing blood work and they're still having the symptoms. But I guess like many people haven't yet like realized that it might be because of the teeth and what's inside the mouth.
So yeah, that's the problem. No one tells them. That's the problem. No one understands that. And even FDA, for example, a filling in your mouth or anything that we put is classified as a class 2 device, like your glasses. So basically what they're saying is the filling is not in your body. It's on your tooth outside body. The same as your iPhone is a device. And a device doesn't need a toxicological report on it. So they just look, okay, can you bite on it? And do you have any pain? That's what the usual dentist asks. Even though you would see huge cysts in a cone beam scan or in a panoramic X-ray even, they just ask, does it hurt? But which chronic disease hurt? No chronic disease hurt. Does depression hurt? Does diabetes hurt? No, nothing. That's the problem. Your body gets used to it and just basically reduces the volume. So you don't even feel it or hear it anymore. But you have to see. Chronic inflammation is the cause for chronic health issues. And this is huge in your mouth. And obviously, you don't want to do a heavy metal detoxification when the source is not the fish, but the mercury filling or the root canal tooth in your mouth, or even the cavitations that contain lots of mercury from previous fillings. And cavitations is not a cavity. I'm referring to these jawbone osteolytic processes after tooth removal that usually most people have if they had their wisdom teeth removed.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So these heavy metal amalgams, they can, yeah, like just leach the metals into your system 24/7 then.
Exactly. So basically 50% of that black silver filling that you might have in your mouth is mercury. And mercury is still the most toxic non-radioactive element known to men. And if they're in your mouth in the filling, this is not too much. Let's say it's 2 to 3 micrograms, so a million of a gram per day, that leaches out as mercury vapor. So when you grind your teeth, it's more. When you chew on acidic food, it's more. When you brush, when you go to dental hygienist, it's more. But it's a daily process of intoxicating you with that mercury. And the mercury vapor is so toxic, there is no protection in your cell. It can go through 6 layers of gloves. It goes through your cell membrane without a doubt, no problem. The only way to get rid of it is actually to let that cell die. And it, luckily, cells die over time. But if it gets into your nervous system, there are enzymes, catalases, that make the mercury stick for 16 to 32 years half-life, which is really bad. And obviously, we are talking about fish and heavy metals in fish. But fish already has digested the mercury, and it's a total different form in the fish. It's way less active than the mercury vapor out of your filling. So always first things first, get rid of that amalgam filling. But big caveat, don't just go to any dentist and tell them, I want that nasty silver amalgam filling out of my mouth. Why? Because they will just drill it out, and drilling out an amalgam filling without proper protection causes way more of the toxic mercury vapor to leach out. And I've seen thousands of my patients developing chronic health issues after such a thing. So therefore, don't freak out. All the things I'm telling you here right now is just more information to plan ahead, to see, okay, there is a mercury filling. Where can I find a dentist who knows how to remove amalgam safely? That's possible. Because the idea is when we take it out, we have to be protected so that there's no more harm. That's always what the doctor has to do. Cause no harm. And it's possible. But this is not how we're taught to do it. So this is obviously a part of the teachings I do, how to remove mercury safely.
Gotcha. And the only kind of solution long-term is to remove it. Like there is no, or in your eyes, there's no like being in optimal health if there is the amalgam in your mouth still.
No. Imagine you're intoxicating you on a daily basis with heavy metals and you try to be optimal healthy. How should that work? It's not possible. This stuff is not supposed to be in your body. And it is in your body. Imagine you're thinking about heavy metals and they're installed in your body 24/7, leaching out. Not possible. It costs you more health in the long run. Obviously, it's a chronic thing. You don't need to stress out, but it's something that I definitely would say it's worth the investment to find someone skilled to take it out for you and make your mouth a clean entrance hall again without any sort of toxins, chronic infections, ongoing cysts or inflammations that spread throughout the body. And obviously, you know, if there's inflammation, it will raise your cortisol. It will raise your epinephrine, your catecholamines. Your body will just be in a more active state, more fight and flight because of it. It's just super simple. You just have to understand, okay, this time it's not the splinter that's grown in here. It is in your nervous system, and the nervous system can transport every sort of toxin, every infection, and every inflammation or cytokine or hormone or whatever into your brainstem within a minute. It's called retrograde axonal transport. So you just have to understand, wherever it is in your body, even if you pop a pill, you feel it in your whole body, right? So if you have a tooth that is chronically inflamed, it could cause your joint issue, could cause you a bad deep sleep. You don't have a REM sleep, whatever. It can be your tooth. Just what I'm saying. And it's not just the mercury. It's not just the heavy metals. It's also root canals. It's also cavitations. Could be bleeding gums. My goal is just to make people understand the mouth is part of your body. It's actually part of your gut system. It's actually the entrance to your gut system and to your whole system. And you can see at one glance that there might be something, or you had been at the dentist, then you have something.
Mm.
Have you ever had a tooth decay? Probably not, right?
No, I haven't gone to the dentist after I finished high school. You know, then in high school, it's part of the curriculum to go there for every year to check up, but I haven't visited a dentist after high school. Yeah, so not in the last 10 years.
Did your wisdom teeth have spades and grew out?
I'm not sure. I can feel them there, but they've never hurt or anything like that.
You know what I mean? So you probably have wisdom teeth, three sets of big teeth that you can bite on, right?
Yeah.
That's nature. You are probably, where you grew up, you had a lot of whole foods, probably less contact to medicine than I had. And you don't need a dentist for that. That's how your body is designed to be. So that's all healthy. I would probably not have to do any little bit in your mouth. And this is the goal. You know what to take care of. And obviously you brush your teeth probably once a day, and you obviously don't use any chemicals. This is what we usually tell patients, use chemicals in your mouth as dentists. But as a biology dentist, you would not do that. So you are the perfect example of a good epigenetic life. For example, I personally, my dad is a doctor, a dentist, and my mom is a nurse. So I was heavily medicated already as a kid. For whatever I had, I would get an antibiotic. For whatever inflammation I have, there's an antibiotic, there's the vaccine, there's whatever. That's just medically, and I don't blame my parents for that. That's just how I grew up. Obviously, there's a different growing up than if you do it all naturally. So obviously, I have a different gut system. My body didn't grow. I needed orthodontics. I needed to remove my wisdom teeth. I luckily don't have any tooth decay. But, you know, it's all in the making. If you grow up maybe with a lot of fast food and only processed foods, you probably have more tooth decay. Even though you clean your teeth with fluoride and use tooth floss and a chemical mouthwash twice a day, even though you have tooth decay. That's what the studies are showing. Even though we're doing so much more oral hygiene stuff, we still have more inflammation, more tooth decay. So something with that oral hygiene theory doesn't really add up. And that was a nice study in a university in Germany, I think it was 21, where they just realized, okay, our Paleolithic ancestors didn't have tooth decay, even though they maybe had plaque and calculus, but no sign of inflammation. So they just had a randomized controlled study, just 1 month, control group, normal diet, and the other group, let's say a paleo-ish diet. Only 1 month, 100% less inflammation. So they basically said what I was saying, maybe nutrition is more important than cleaning your teeth. It's that simple.
But
most people are Homer Simpson, and you cannot just tell them that from the street because they will go backward. But I can't tell that to you because you know what to do.
Yeah. You know, I do brush my teeth, obviously, twice a day usually. But I don't think that the brushing of the teeth is the reason why I've never gone to the dentist. It's like the nutrition and just overall healthy lifestyle. I think that has played the biggest role in that. Like, yeah, if I don't brush my teeth, then they might smell, they might get, you know, stains, and they might look aesthetically less pleasing, but I would still not develop like tooth pain or like the tooth cavities or decay or something like that. So the brushing is, you know, obviously good for the aesthetics and stuff like that, and it might keep it clean and might reduce some bacteria if you have like a worse diet. But you know, the nutrition is like pretty underrated in this.
I believe it's more like in the tree, in like if you would live in the woods, like a wood, like a tree becomes like a little bit of green and here and there. And I think your teeth, if you just never brush them and you live an ancestral lifestyle in the woods, you probably have not as white teeth. I'm sure they're a little bit more grayish, maybe a little bit even brownish. They will change within the age, I think so, because they're just, that's just normal. Maybe they even develop a little bit of plaque and calculus to protect, but there's never a sign of inflammation if you do that. So what you're doing is obviously perfect for your body and overall health, and therefore also for your teeth. It's really as simple as that. The good thing is, if you, for example, have tooth decay and then someone tells you, you might want to consider testing your vitamin D3 level. You open up a whole new realm, because if you test your vitamin D3 level and improve it, you know that this is a hormone that is affecting almost everything in your body, not just teeth, but also luckily your teeth. So that's that simple. So within one hit, you get stronger teeth, a better immune system, better hormones, better recovery, better hair, nail, and whatever you name it, just by improving your vitamin D3, and with it, core minerals like magnesium or vitamins like K2, the more fat-soluble ones, vitamin A, E. And obviously, if you then start eating nose to tail, for example, the whole animal, focus on the whole foods and skip the processed stuff, you just build your body, get into a more anabolic environment, and therefore your teeth are also anabolic, and get it rebuilt, because you can really rebuild your teeth or remineralize them. They're actually being remineralized, I don't even know how often, but a couple of hundred times a day, probably through the saliva. And you know, if you're in chronic stress, your saliva goes down, your digestion goes slower, and you're more prone to tooth decay, but also to stomach issues, ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome. So it's again, the whole thing starts in the mouth. Like I say, optimal health starts in your mouth.
Yeah. What are the alternatives? Like you mentioned this ceramic panels for the amalgams. So like, what are some of the safe materials that you think are safe to keep in your mouth?
So basically, ideally, you do never need a drill. But if you had like previous dental work done, if it's a tiny filling, you would just use, it's called composite. It is a mixture out of, let's say, plastics and ceramics. But I think if the dentist uses them well, you don't need to be scared about microplastics and stuff too much. Obviously, there's always something to be discussed. That's why I say ideally you keep your natural tooth, because there's nothing better. But let's say tiny fillings, composite. Bigger fillings, you would use some partial ceramics, like let's say partial ceramic crowns, veneers, even full crowns, ceramics. And then when you lost a tooth and you have a gap, what we do is place, that's called an implant. If you need a completely new root of a tooth, it's a dental implant. And 99.7% of all dentists worldwide use titanium as the gold standard, because that's been around for 45 years. And I am one of the first ceramic implant specialists worldwide using only zirconium dioxide, which is a white, totally neutral biomaterial as a new root. Ceramic implant is what we call that. Now, it took me 10 years to do that, and I've placed more than 5,000 pieces. But now, only this year, it's finally medically accepted as a guideline in universities. So it's now the same for dentists. So now we can choose. And on top of it, a titanium implant is a foreign body, foreign particle that causes chronic inflammation, and also obviously an antenna because it's metal. But the ceramic one is a biomaterial. And the good thing is it only osseointegrates, meaning it only will heal within your body if your body is anabolic and builds tissue. That's the good part of it. There's never an inflammation. It just grows with you if you're able to build. And therefore, obviously, what we do before we see patients, you get a systemized nutritional approach on how to prepare for the surgery and your case. You get the right micronutrients. It's a protocol I've developed years ago. It's called Bone Healing Protocol. I don't know if you know, I told you I have my own supplement company That I was actually, I even had that company Substitution before I even opened up the clinic, because I'm just such a nerd when it comes to nutrition and micronutrients. And back then I needed the products that I've developed for my protocols. That's how I went into this. So not from the perspective, oh, I need a supplement to sell. The other way around, there is no supplement that I can use for my patients, which is so clean that it cannot cause problems in any chronic health issue patient, because this is how I started, super unhealthy patients. And now it, over the last 10 years, it changed. More people coming to me, they're like you or me. They just want the next edge. They know, okay, I have done everything, not superhuman. There's something in my mouth. So therefore, the ecosystem, started to work on the ecosystem backwards, like just from, I needed it. And then I designed bone and teeth because I realized, okay, we need vitamin D3, K2, a different form of magnesium. We need boron, zinc, activated B vitamins to make that all round. And this is how my brain thinks about nutrients and supplements and everything. Mm-hmm. So this is all included. And so the patient knows exactly what they have to do before they even see me. They are on that protocol for a couple of weeks.
Gotcha. It's like pre-work and then post-work as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They also, like when they come to see me, it's maybe a health optimization week where we do everything, where they can use whatever we do. Besides the dental part, we use hyperbaric, intravenous nutrition, everything from a typical health optimization standpoint. But they also know exactly how the lifestyle needs to be, what the nutrition needs to look like, which macros and micros they need to focus on for the next 4 to 6 months to be able to really heal that. Mm. And only then, 6 months later, they come back for the aesthetics, which always follows the function. So we have to take into account the binding. This joint is super important for your whole posture. So first of all, let's say fundament or the base, and then 6 months later, the build up, which is then obviously also aesthetic. That's why the clinic is called Health and Aesthetics, because I believe if you're healthy, you're also aesthetic, and not the other way around. So I cannot make you nice, healthy, aesthetic teeth on like a rotten floor. Makes no sense, right?
Yeah, it's kind of
rot. But it is possible, but that's not what we do.
Mm, for sure. So what about brushing your teeth? So like, yeah, what are your thoughts about like how often, what kind of toothpaste, what kind of toothbrush, and what are your like thoughts about that?
I think brushing your teeth is still important, but it's not everything. I personally brush once a day, but I'm like you. I have my lifestyle on point. I would say for the general population who has never heard about nutrition being somewhat connected to teeth, start with twice a day, keep them clean. And then work on your dietary changes so that your body, that your teeth are actually already clean after eating. Because if you eat the right foods, your teeth are clean. Yeah, if the food's harder to chew, there is no sticky stuff afterwards. Whereas if you drink Coke and have your whatever, your burger, then you probably have some stuff sticking around and need to brush more. So conventional dentists usually use just toothpaste containing fluoride and lots of various chemicals that we are trying to avoid. We developed this in dentistry, this approach, because most patients have bleeding gums and tooth decay and a bad lifestyle. Therefore, the band-aid is to use all the chemicals. But ideally, tooth decay is not a chemical deficiency. If you focus on D3, K2, the right mineral, microminerals and the nutrition, you can really go natural. You might not even need a tooth, let's say a toothpaste. You can make it yourself even, but it should be something that you would like to eat or swallow at least. So, and if you want an active ingredient, I would usually find something where there's hydroxyl apatite in it, but you definitely want to avoid fluoride, tryptophan, carrageenan, saccharin, sucralose, sodium lauryl sulfate, all the toxins that are super unnecessary and actually just nuke the oral microbiome and make it worse in the long run. And especially avoid tooth whitening toothpaste, because those filing down your hard part of the tooth is called the enamel, because there's always abrasives in it. That's what you don't want to do. If you want to have your teeth white, go to a specialist, to a dental clinic. They can do that more safely for you.
Mm, gotcha.
So this is brushing, but there's a little bit more to oral health if you want to know more.
Yeah, like the mouthwash, there is like some links between mouthwash use and diabetes and something like that, because you're like removing the microbiome actually from the mouth.
You're not just removing the microbiome, but also, for example, the most common mouthwash that you can find in every drugstore, the blue one, is actually designed to be a floor cleaner. Like, that was the first heavy marketing for it. And I don't know why they came up with the idea to put into your mouth. Obviously, it might help with bad breath, but bad breath usually comes from lifestyle issues and maybe dental repair. It's nothing to do with just with the mouthwash. So you don't, yes, this connected to diabetes and various other thyroid issues, ill-tail bowel syndrome. So you find everything if you look at the toxins or the chemicals in there. Why would you wash your mouth with chemicals? Like, you really, like you said, you kill your whole microbiome, but you need that microbiome. It's really important, and your immune system. So what we do instead is just oil pulling. And oil pulling is a Ayurvedic strategy. And usually what we use is a extra virgin coconut oil. The brand doesn't even matter. It's just native extra virgin coconut oil. You take a teaspoon in your mouth. You have to have it in your mouth and swish it around for 5 minutes at least. You can even do 15, 20, 25 minutes, especially in the colder winter month when you're prone to these achy, sore things in your mouth, like your throat is like itching, more coconut oil pulling. Coconut oil pulling actually soothes your oral microbiome and your gums. It helps your gums. It is also detoxing, so it helps with being antibacterial too and antiviral, because there's lauric acid in it. So that's a very good strategy. Again, with everything, the key is consistency. You just have to do it. Just do it every single day, ideally, until it's a habit. And that's amazing. You could spice it a little bit up with a couple of oils here and there. Let's say essential oils, like maybe a tiny bit of oregano or whatever you like, or clove is sometimes good, but it's just okay. Or peppermint, then you have actually the breath with it. If you do coconut oil pulling with a drop of peppermint in it, a lemon, it will help, and you have a good breath. But the breath thing comes from within, comes from the tongue scraping, comes from the gut. Also, I think personally, to be honest, every single person on this planet, if we wouldn't brush our teeth and just live ancestral, we probably have a bad breath. Like an animal has a bad breath, right? Yeah. But we're used to having a good breath, so that's why we feel it. Therefore, obviously, I brush my teeth too, because I would have a bad breath too, according to what we're used to being a good breath. I think this is the difference, because if you smell a cat or a dog, it smells bad if their breath. And they are definitely not having a bad microbiome, unless they eat the wrong stuff. But if they just eat carnivorous or whatever they're supposed to eat, it's not the breath that smells like perfume. You understand? So work on a breath with tongue scraping, and obviously brush your teeth. Tongue scraping, we didn't even touch.
I guess it's like, you know, the super white teeth aren't natural either. Like, you don't have any, you know, humans in nature having super white teeth. Like, the brightest natural is actually a little bit, you know, yellow or this, you know, beige kind of. If you look at the color palette directly, like, the snow white teeth are super like unnatural, but it's, you know, aesthetic and I guess societal standards have, you know, developed actually prefer, or, you know, many people just want to have like the brighter white teeth.
Yeah. And also, if they get a bit more yellowish, sometimes it's in mineral imbalances actually. But usually if you just wear them and don't focus on aesthetics, they will just get more darker and darker just from what you eat. But obviously, if you go to Hollywood, there's veneers, you can get A1 bleach. That's the color. It's so white that if you see in real life, it's just so fake. This is not European aesthetics, definitely not. But I see that people have it. Like, my teeth are also a little bit yellower. That's just my color. I don't even have a bleaching. I should do one to try, but if I want them more white, I need to go do something chemically with them. And I don't say there's something bad with vanity. If you want to have white teeth, go for it. Go to your dentist and get a tooth whitening, but do it professionally and make sure before you do it that your teeth are not sensitive. And they are sensitive, for example, because you have a lack of vitamin D3, magnesium, K2, and key minerals. So do that first, because then the teeth whitening maybe makes them a little bit sensitive for 1 or 2 days, but it's not causing a long-term issue. Whereas if you do tooth whitening toothpaste, you might be ending up filing down your nice teeth. they get yellow and more yellow and more yellow then, because below that enamel, they are actually quite yellow.
Mm. So it's the enamel that is white. They're kind of
only the enamel.
Okay.
The tooth dentin is always a little bit more beige, yellowish.
Gotcha. So, but what about like the teeth whitening? So if you go to the aesthetic dental clinic and you get the teeth whitened, like, is that bad, or is there like healthier versions to do it?
No, I think if you really want to have white teeth fast and you like that style, like I said, I don't have anything against vanity. If you want to have that white smile, go for it, but let it go to a dental clinic who knows what they're doing. Hmm. Because they usually use like a 3% solution or whatever to make that. And in a professional setting, it's fine. Yeah, it's not that you don't hurt the tooth in the long run. This is just maybe a tooth gets a little bit sensitive at the beginning. Mm. But if you also focus on having the right nutrients beforehand so that your teeth are not even sensitive, like vitamin D3 and K2, then shouldn't be a problem at all.
Gotcha. And what about the tooth whitening toothpaste, like the charcoal toothpaste or something like that?
No, exactly. That's what I meant. The tooth whitening toothpaste, I would definitely not recommend,
right?
Because they really file down. It's like you're using a little tiny grip tape on your teeth, like every single day. And over time, what it does, they look white, but then they get yellow faster because they're more porous now, meaning stuff gets in more simple, like your daily food, let's say the curcumin in your smoothie, and then you have to use it again and again and again. So it's a vicious cycle, actually. So don't do this. You don't want to do anything on your enamel. Your enamel should be intact. And you make that enamel hard with the foods you eat and the water you drink. So it's coming from the blood supply from the inside of the tooth, but also remineralization through the saliva ongoingly every single day. And obviously your saliva is as good as your nutrition and your fluid status. So if you have a lack of electrolytes, it's a problem. You need a lot of electrolytes, minerals in your body. Just simple drink water with a little bit of Celtic sea salt in it all day long.
Mm. Yeah, so the saliva is made by the gums, but it's, you know, the ingredients inside the saliva come from the, you know, the body, that your mineral stores and those kind
of things. Yeah, there's salivary ducts in your mouth that flush it out, but it's produced obviously as a parasympathetic thing. It's like digestion. You know, if you think about food, you already have saliva in your mouth. It's mouth watering is what they're saying. And therefore it's also good, if you think about it, it's also important to take your time to prepare your food, to smell it, to enjoy it, because the digestion is already started versus smashing down the food while you're in a hurry, because you're probably in sympathetic fight and flight. Then it might even be better to drink just a shake instead of sitting down and having something difficult to digest. It's better to use the digestion when you really have the time for it, depending on what you eat. Obviously, if you then eat something simple, like if you have no time to eat, but you still need nutrients, like I, for example, personally, when I do surgeries, I usually have long surgeries. So I start at 10 with the surgery and it can go up to 5, 6 p.m.-ish, but patients need to have a bathroom break. So when they do a bathroom break, I eat. Now I maybe have 15 minutes. But my food that I'm eating is very easy to digest. So it might be just a lean animal protein and just simple white rice or simple potato, like two different informations for my body, easy to digest. I wouldn't sit down and eat vegetables and salads and stuff that are hard to digest in that phase. I would maybe do that in the morning or have the bigger meals in the evening. But simple stuff like white rice and chicken always works for me, even in a stress environment.
Gotcha. Yeah. We can also briefly cover the aspect of the breathing on the jaw structure and, you know, how, because the, you know, what you find also is that, you know, breathing through the nose versus breathing through the mouth really changes the, you know, the teeth development and the things like that.
Yes. So the first phase when you actually learn how to breathe through your nose is when you're breastfed, when you're breastfeeding, because as soon as you suck on the breast, you can only breathe through your nose. And while you do that, you suck on the breast, these muscles here, the whole jaw muscles, are directly actually connected to sternocleidio and to your whole posture. They get strong and it pulls that lower jaw forward. So that's an orthodontic treatment. And at the same time you breathe through your nose, you widen the upper jaw. the sinuses, like inside here, widen your jaw actually by nose breathing. So that's the initial training for it. And that most people are in the Western world, again, they are mouth breathing because it's an adaptation to being inflamed all the time. So they usually have like a little bit of a clogged nose, a little bit of swollen tonsils because of the foods they're eating usually, because of a low-grade immune inflammation. It's all swollen up. So it's an adaptation to less air because your body needs air. And only then you start to breathe through your mouth. That's not how it's supposed to be. So you can retrain it and relearn it. So the first initial start on how to learn how to nose breathe again is not just simply using a mouth tape. First of all, you have to train the tongue muscle in your jaw to be able to nose breathe again. It's super simple. So usually when you're a mouth breather, what happens is that your tongue is in the lower jaw, but your tongue needs to be on the roof of your palate, right where these little wrinkles are behind the incisors, like here. And then you can try just a simple trick before you go to bed. You put that tongue there and suck on it and do this click. Do that 30 times, you will feel how at the beginning, it's really, really, you feel that the muscle gets sore. Get that sound, like pop it again, and then put it up there. Close your mouth, easy, and breathe through your nose. You will initially breathe through your nose, because but you have to retrain. It's like with muscle training. You have to get that pattern again. Therefore, do 30 claps with your tongue before you go to bed. Then put it on up here, and maybe then start a little bit with mouth taping, and you retrain it. But this, again, the consistency is key. Do that for 30 days. I trust you back to normal breathing if you also cover stuff like going off the core four, go rid of sugar, gluten-containing grains, especially conventional dairy, maybe even at the beginning when you started, when you notice that you're mouth breathing or have tonsil issues. Maybe stop dairy overall for, let's say, 4 weeks, eliminate it, and then slowly reintroduce the A2 one slowly. Because if you're allergic at this point of time, your tissue will be swollen. And if you have like big tonsils here, your body just needs more air and therefore breathe it through the mouth. So it's again in the combination, but this is the first simple trick. Tongue up to the roof of the palate, suck on it until that clicks 30 times. Then maybe next step, let's say after 5 days, do the mouth taping, and also at the same time, change your diet. And step one, get rid of the pro-inflammatory foods.
Yeah, gotcha. That's a good overview for that, for sure. And yeah, like it's such an underrated topic. And, you know, unless you are really deliberately following people like you who talk about dentistry and oral health, and you don't really hear that much about the importance of dental health on overall health, and yeah, just the other side effects that people may have because of poor dental health. So it's, you know, I'm very glad to, you know, share this message as well with my followers.
Yes, I think that this is my mission for long years now, or my duty, to teach that optimal health starts in the mouth, because it's still the most overlooked and underrated part of your body, even though it's actually an extension of your brain. And even the WHO, the World Health Organization, says 70% of all chronic health issues start in the mouth. They only look for tooth decay, gingivitis, periodontitis. They didn't even look for metals, root canals, and cavitations. But you see how important this bit is. And we are all teaching health here. So whatever you have, if you have still chronic acne or inflammation, you have your diet on point and everything, but you still have acne, for example, it's time to look into your mouth. Maybe they removed your wisdom teeth and you have chronic inflammation in your jawbone. Stuff like this. There is always, you should always diagnose, always not forget to diagnose the mouth. But here's the kicker, because most dentists will tell you it's fine because biting works. But it's not fine because underneath is lots of inflammation and wrong materials and all the different things. So yes, thanks for having me here so that we can teach it and share it together. Because I think therefore, in terms of, I believe in co-elevation and collaboration and not competition, because we are here to really share the message and help many people out there. And I think we can do this all together. Alone is not possible. We have to be the wolf pack, not the lone wolf.
For sure. You also have a book about
this.
So yeah, you can share that. And where can people learn more about you and your work?
The book I've written in Germany, it's called In Aller Munde, but it was translated to English. It's All in Your Mouth. It's for the layman. This is not a medical textbook. It's just teaching the overall complex optimal health thoughts in the mouth system. Ideally, the easiest is actually to follow me on Instagram, like yourself. And because there are links in the bio where you can have a tap bio and you find my clinic, which is the DNA, and everything that I've done, and tons of podcasts and articles and interviews. And I try to give my best to share this message, and hopefully you like it and share it too, and help one more patient or person with it, because people are really suffering and they don't know where to look. And I'm doing it for 20 years now, having had my own health issues very early on. So I'm very grateful for this, that I had to learn it this way. And I'm happy to be the, let's say, the light tower, the beacon for that mission, and to share it. It's not about me. It's all about that. And I'm happy to provide.
Yeah, we'll put the links in the show notes. And yeah, it was great to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Sim.
Yeah, I'll see you around. But do you want to slow down aging and add healthy years to your life? Then I'm looking for more people who want to reverse their biological clock. If you're interested, then email me the word health to info@cblan.com and I'll send you the details. But other than that, thanks for watching this video. Make sure you click the like, subscribe, notification bell as well. My name is Seem. Stay optimized, stay empowered.